الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
So I'm minding my own business when along comes this cat, who identifies as an Ashari and a Sufi at that. Not just a proponent of Kalam or speculative theology, but a grave worshipping Quburi, if you'll excuse the tautology. While he's drowning in deviation, marketing his mysticism, venerating Ibn Arabi and his calamitous occultism, instead of reflecting on that shirk which Islam came to dispel, he nitpicks my Arabic as if he knows it well. And as a Syrian Arab, he ought to know his stuff. But as we're about to see, he's mostly bluster and bluff. Referencing my video, Response to Hanafi Fiqh Channel, Why the Salaf Condemned Kalam, the brother correctly identifies two times when I dropped a vowel. I said, Athar, when I should have said, Athar. And I read, Munfarad, when it's Munfarid, with a Kasra. Dude gets me a third time when I drop the definite article al in al kalam.
من طلب العلم بكلام تزندق.
Here though, I have an excuse, as lame as it is, and that's this line. From sound knowledge is that you don't speak about that which you have no knowledge, using the speech of those who do. Ignorant enough is your intellect when you don't understand, but speak like you do. Although this saying didn't make it into my video, I'd read it so many times that I had the bit ta'lamu bi kalam playing in my head. That's why I slipped up when I meant to read al-ilma bil kalam instead. So I'm grateful to our brother, Badruddin, bringing three slips of the tongue to my attention. Unfortunately for the Levantine, that's where his party ends. Now's his turn for a dishonorable mention. He claims when I said Ash'ari, I was trying to say Ash'ari in Arabic. But I wasn't. Because I was speaking English. How does the newsreader read the name of this bloodthirsty so-and-so in English on an Arabic news network?
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Baghdadi, like Mac Daddy. They're not trying to say Baghdadi, as if foreigners' nouns will lose their original enunciation as they pass as loanwords into another's language. So as we're speaking English, we can choose to read an Arabic word in Arabic.
Ash'ari, Mu'tazili, Makkah, Qatar. Bahraini.
Or we can read them with an anglicized rendering.
Ash'ari, Mu'tazili, Mecca, Qatar, Bahraini.
Or we can mix and match and alternate between languages, which I do on a dime, all the time.
Right on time!
Brother Badruddin also claims I was mistaken to say Fiqh al-Akbar, because I should have said Al-Fiqh al-Akbar, with the definite article Al, right? Al-Fiqh al-Akbar, the Greater Understanding, is a treatise on creed commonly attributed to Imam Abu Hanifa. But again, I was speaking English, not Arabic, and my omitting the al from fiqh was deliberate. Firstly, because it's something most of us do when incorporating Islamic terms into English, as it aids the flow of speech, as I explained in my first ever YouTube video. Like, first ever. These Arabic terms really ought to be preceded by the definite article al. So it should really be At-Tawheed, Ash-Shirk, Al-Ilhad. However, as it's easier for non-Arabic readers and listeners to recognize Arabic terms when they appear more distinct from each other, such as by removing the Al, then that's what we're doing. Secondly, I was making a play on words. In matters of creed, in Fiqh Al-Akbar, the pious Salaf were united upon a single Madhab. Madhab means a pathway, from the root Dhahaba, to go. More commonly, in Islamic usage, it refers to a school of fiqh or jurisprudence. However, it can also denote one's creedal affiliation, such as when Ibn Taymiyyah said, La aiba ala man adhara madhhab as-salaf. There's no shame for the one who manifests the school of the Salaf, affiliates with it, and takes pride in it. On the contrary, it is agreed that this must be accepted for the person. فَإِنَّ مَذْهَبَ السَّلَفِ لَا يَكُونَ إِلَّا حَقًّا. For the school of the Salaf ain't nothing but the truth. So what I was trying to say was that, in matters of aqidah, creed, which is the greatest of knowledge, the greater fiqh, the Salaf were upon one pathway. By adding the Arabic superlative al-akbar to the English phrase in fiqh, and fiqh is an English dictionary term, by the way, I was trying to be clever, though not clever enough for some, it seems. Now that I've been forced to explain the word play, it sounds overcooked and a little overboard, but at the time it sounded smart, so I proceeded to record. Either way, it weren't no mistake. It wasn't any title of a text I was trying to redefine. Dropping the al was not an accident of Arabic, but English by design.
قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.
Now if we excuse the Ash'ari's assertions against my Arabic due to his own ignorance of Muslimic English, that's one thing. But there is no way around his massacring of his own native tongue while attempting to showcase a mastery of it. He claims that when I read Tilka Dalail, I failed to pronounce the Al. Of course he's wrong, big time. Arabic characters are divided into one of two categories, sun letters and moon letters, Huruf Shamsiyya and Huruf Qamariyya. With the sun letters, the lam of a preceding definite article is dropped in pronunciation and the sun letter gets geminated. It becomes a double consonant. It wears a shadda, like the sheen in Ash-Shams, hence Harf Shamsi.
Barakallahu feekum.
Dal is one of those sun letters. Allah says,
تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًّا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
تِلْكَ الدَّلَائِلْ, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ, same a difference. Incidentally, of Allah's proper nouns mentioned in the Quran, a good number are Shamsiyya, including Ar-Rahim and Ar-Rahman. Had you called upon Allah instead of the dead in their graves, you'd have known this basic reading rule, as you'd be familiar with Allah's names.
قُلْ اِدْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُوا الرَّحْمَانَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى.
Say, invoke Allah or invoke the Most Merciful by whatever name you invoke Him, for to Him belong the best of names.
The Wahiru Wairidati fil Kitab wa Sunnah.
Now here I did read the wrong vowel marks. A blunder no doubt. But in trying to correct me, the Ash'ari makes an even greater blunder. He claims it should be the Wahirin with a double kasra, presumably because he thinks that's how the word ought to be read in the genitive case. For example, Allah says about himself in Surah An-Nur,
Allahu Nuru as-samawati wal-ard.
Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And at the end of the same ayah,
وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ
عَلِيمٍ. And Allah is all-know of everything. Note the vowel mark at the end of Allah, Lafzul Jalala. In both cases, it's a Dhamma. Because the proper noun, Allah, Jalla Jalalahu, is in the default nominative case. In Arabic, this is called Marfu', which means raised. The verbal form of which we see, for example, in the ayah,
نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَّن نَشَاءُ وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ.
We raise to degrees whom we please, but over all those endowed with knowledge is the all-knowing. Now what happens when a word follows a preposition, a harf jar? It becomes majroor. The genitive case in English, jar meaning to pull at something, to drag it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said,
رَأَيْتُ أَمَرْ بِنْ عَامِرْ بِنُ اللُّهَيْ الْخُزَائِ يَجُرُّ قَصْبَهُ فِي النَّارِ. I saw Amr bin Amir bin Luhay al-Khuzai dragging his intestines in the hellfire.
And that was due to the shirk he introduced amongst Quraysh. So think of this as if a preposition pulls a vowel mark down from above the stem of a word to below it. For example,
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
All praise and thanks be to Allah, Lord of the Worlds. The single letter lam preposition, meaning to or for, prefixed with Allah, Lafzul Jalala, changes the dhamma to a kasra, from Allahu to Lillahi, مرفوع to مجرور, nominative to genitive. Okay, so far so good. Except that the case ending on the word ظواهر does not change. It remains seemingly syntactically constant in all cases regardless. Why? Because it is a diptort, you dipstick. ممنوع من الصرف, inhibited from syntactical inflection. So I was wrong, but the Arab was wronger. His correction didn't kill me, it made me stronger. Keep the preposition, get rid of it, makes no difference. No matter how heavy you howl, the word ظواهر will always take a fatha as its final sounded vowel. And as the accompanying adjective, واردة, is not a diptort, it will be inflexed to take the genitive nonation of a double kasra. Take note. إلى ظواهر واردة. Can we illustrate this with an equivalent example from the Quran? Indeed we can.
لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة.
Allah has indeed granted you victory on many battlefields. The I'rab, syntactical analysis according to the rules of Arabic grammar, is as follows. جمع تكسير على وزن فوائل, a broken plural of the form فوائل. صيغة
منتهى
الجموع, of the highest of plural structures. اسم مجرور علامة جره الفتحة عوضا عن الكسرة. A noun in the genitive case, the sign of its being genitive is the fatha in place of the kasra. Why? لأنه ممنوع من الصرف. Because it's a diptort, inhibited from inflection. دلالة. Here the Ashri says I said دلالة with a kasra. I didn't. I said ظلالة. That's with a fatha. Okay, it wasn't very clear. But that's all the more reason not to mind trick us into hearing a mistaken reading. Especially when you can hear me pronounce the same word more emphatically, but 1 second later. دلالة. On the problem of imperfect pronunciation, we addressed this previously. At no point at all did I ever manage to successfully distinguish between a sword and a scene. I'm not even confident I'm getting this right now as I'm saying it. It's something I struggle with, as I do with other similar sounding Arabic letters. To be fair to me, putting honesty before modesty, I was being a bit too hard on myself. If I take my time and focus, I'm confident I can hit those letters more than I miss them. But at what cost? I already slowed down my natural speech to record these videos. Carefully enunciating each Arabic character would mean I slowed down even more, and that would mess with my flow. And as I'm not performing any Quran recitation while providing on screen every Arabic source citation, there's no danger of misleading viewers with mispronounced sounds. Even with my English, I chew up syllables, drop consonants, mix vowels. So what? On the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean a damn thing. Unlike the opposer's heretical beliefs and practice, which is a damn thing. Literally. وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار. The Ash'ari's claim that the Prophet ﷺ did not say kullu but kulla illustrates his ignorance not only of Arabic grammar but of the authentic sunnah. The hadith I displayed on screen was the wording of the companion Jabir bin Abdullah as recorded by Bayhaqi and Imam Muslim with some variation. And the worst of affairs are the newly invented ones, and every kullu newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire. Note here, it's kullu marfu' with a dhamma. A different version of this hadith was narrated by the sahabi Irbad bin Sariya, as recorded by Abu Dawood. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُهْتَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُهْتَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٌ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٌ. Beware of newly invented matters, for every kulla newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance. So why the difference? Why in one version is it kullu, and elsewhere it's kulla? The difference is due to an accusative inflection, mansub, meaning upright, erect. As its syntactical sign is a fatha, think of the accusative case as an upright, erected dash, as opposed to the pulled down dash, the kasra, of the genitive case. Or like the accused in a court of law is made to stand up. A noun derived from the same root, nasaba, we see in the ayah,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ
الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون.
O you who believe, verily intoxicants, gambling and ansab, erected upright idolized statues and divining arrows are an abomination of Satan's handiwork. So shun all that, perchance you be successful. Let's briefly illustrate the accusative case, mansub, with the Book of Allah. We noted this ayah previously, where Allah, lafzul jalala, carries a default dhamma, and the exact same phrase we find elsewhere in the Quran, but this time Allah, lafzul jalala, carries a fatha.
الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر له إن الله بكل شيء عليم.
Allah enlarges the provision for whom He wills of His slaves and straightens it for whom He wills. Verily, Allah is the All-Know of everything. So what causes the Dhamma in one place to switch to a Fatha in another? Why is it Allahu bi kulli shay'in alim in the ayah in Surah An-Nur, but Allaha bi kulli shay'in alim in the ayah in Surah Al-Anqabut? Because in the latter case, the words are preceded by the article inna, meaning verily, indeed. And the article inna and her sisters make words accusative, mansub, the case ending of which ordinarily is a fatha. Thus, in the narration of Irbad bin Sariya, the inna causes the kullu to become a kulla. But as I did not display any mansub making inna on screen, I read it right, marfu'. My Arabic was clean. The Hanafi read the name of one of the early scholars of the Ahnaf as
Zufar,
which I misheard as Zufar. As far as I know, both renditions are correct. Just as the name of the Prophet, Khidr, is alternatively read as Khadr. Or like how
Basra as a city, okay, is pronounced in three ways. Basra, Busra and Bisra. You can say all three.
There is no scandal in misreading a name like this, assuming it is a misreading. We're certainly not going to trust the foreknowledge of a man who prefers to invoke the dead in their graves over the ever-living and eternal Allah. A man who takes his understanding of the attributes of Allah from Aristotle before he does Allah's apostle. Where dabt al-tashkil al-ism, precision in the rendering of vowels of names, is important is in ilm al-rijal, the knowledge of narrators of hadith. But in the knowledge being narrated itself, it makes zero difference. Whether it's Zufar or Zufar, his name how to read, I blindly followed a muqallid, of him I made taqleed. That's lazy, lackadaisical, but hardly a bad deed. For though I may not have got his name right, at least I done got his creed. See, Twitter can be a toilet brimming to the rim. Though we do what we can to make amends for our sins, tribulations are tweeted through the dawn and through the dusk, busying us with responses on the platform of Elon Musk. The basic Arabic mistakes of mine that the Ashari highlighted fell into three categories, which prove he got overexcited. Mistakes he called me out on, and his correction was correct. Mistakes he called me out on, but his correction was inept. And mistakes which weren't mistakes at all, his illiteracy on full display. But that's what you get with the mutasawwifa, the mystics who are most astray. So we slip up in speech, hit and miss a vowel. In Arabic we Ajamis will stutter. But on Judgment Day we'll take all that over the evil some Arabs utter. Your enmity exposed you good like a load of Lady Godivas. You missed the bus on this one, mate. Plane crashed.
With no survivors.
That's all for now. How now, brown cow? Next time, don't be so naughty. For you cannot give what you do not have. فاقد شيء لا يعطي.
لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا.